Well, good news if you're watching us through live streaming, it's all up and running and it's fine. We've gotten to be very flexible as a staff to be able to respond to those kind of emergencies after COVID. This is great. My guess is it was being downloaded to so many people on this holiday Palm Sunday, as will next week Easter, that it probably crashed the system of the web provider. And that happened during the pandemic when it first started and everyone wanted to live stream. You see, the sermon title for this morning is Palm Sunday Vibrations. And you'll understand the reason for that word vibration as we get through the course of the message. The reading is from Matthew chapter 21. It's the reading of Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. And we'll come to that reading after an introduction. But let's pray as we come this morning to the message. Oh Lord and our God, on this beautiful day, we come before you with an understanding that it's not been such a beautiful day in parts of this country or in parts of this world. And so we need you, oh Lord, to speak to us your eternal truths. And so speak to us this morning through these ancient words found in Matthew's gospel. Help them to live in us and through us. And we know that you will do just that, for we pray in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Well, today is Palm Sunday, as I mentioned. It's one of the Sundays during the year that stands out for us because it corresponds with a very memorable day in the life and ministry of Jesus. As a matter of fact, it corresponds with a memorable week, in fact. Hopefully, when you came in this morning, you received a palm cross. If you didn't, I encourage you when you leave to go to the baskets that are out there and take a palm cross with you. This is a dried palm branch that's been shaped into the form of a cross. And it's a very appropriate symbol for us in worship today, because this Sunday really has sort of a dual identity. It's both Palm Sunday, when we remember Jesus' entry into Jerusalem as the Messiah, the coming King to the Jews, but it's also Passion Sunday. It's the first day of Holy Week. And the word passion is used because the word passion means suffering. And that's what we will experience this week. It refers to the pain of Jesus, the pain that he experienced in his betrayal on Maundy Thursday, his arrest and mock trial, the beatings that he endured, and crucifixion by the end of Good Friday. And so putting these elements together in one Sunday, these two themes, Palm and Passion, is really a beautiful way for us to begin our journey during Holy Week. And that's what this is, a journey during Holy Week. I want you to remember that when you read the Gospel of Matthew, always try to keep in mind who Matthew is writing to. Matthew, remember, begins his Gospel by giving us the genealogy of Jesus. And what he's doing is he's helping the Jews get on board, saying, this is our ancestry, and Jesus is born his mother was Mary. And there's a very long genealogy there, and so he's addressing Jews in his gospel, to people who would have lived for generations in this particular region especially. And Matthew would have included for them particular details that when we read the Passion story in Matthew's gospel, remember that it's written to the Jews. And so details are very important, and I'll say more about the details of this story in just a moment. But it was the week of Passover. It was the week when tens of thousands of people would make an annual pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And they would offer sacrifices at the temple. And that week they would celebrate later the Passover feast. Each family would prepare a meal, a Passover meal. And then on Thursday night they would have that meal together. And they would remember the night in which they were freed from Egypt, their ancestors, when the angel of death passed over their homes and their homes of their ancestors. Of course, the door had been covered with blood by the blood of a lamb, a Passover lamb. And so on Sunday, this would have been like Monday to them, but it was really like the week building up to a big celebration, just like we build up for Christmas. So it was very close to a great celebration, and thus, again, thousands of people would have been in Jerusalem making preparations. So Jesus and his disciples were also heading to Jerusalem. They were coming, again, like everybody else, for the Passover celebration, but Jesus had been very intentional with his disciples, and he had been telling them he had set his face to Jerusalem. This was Jesus' destination. It was very intentional on his part. Jesus knew that this would be the week when he would shed blood from the cross. He had prayed that if anything else could be done, it could be, but it had not worked. And so Jesus followed God's will into Jerusalem. He was going to the cross for the salvation of the world that he came to save. So big day, Palm Sunday. Jesus and his disciples are approaching Jerusalem. They had come up from Jericho, where Jesus had done a lot of amazing miracles and teachings. And because of that, there was a large crowd that was following Jesus and his disciples. Now for them, this large crowd, this was not going to be just another Passover. Because this year, during Passover, they had come to believe that Jesus was this long prophesied Messiah. They strongly believed in him. They believed he had finally arrived, and this was going to be a once in a lifetime celebration. And then as they approached Jerusalem, Matthew, one of Jesus' disciples, he records for us what happened. And so listen as I read from Matthew's gospel in chapter 21, beginning at verse 1. And remember the details for the Jews. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says to you, says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And the disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and they put their cloaks on them. And he sat on them. The very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowd went ahead of him, and they followed and were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." And then here ends the reading of God's word to us. And so again, the people had been traveling with Jesus. They believed him to be this long-awaited-for Messiah. And all the details of the story are important. The word from the prophet Zechariah, the Jews' ears would have perked up to hear what the prophet had to say. All of it was done to fulfill the prophecy. And this crowd, they believed that when he came in Jerusalem, they hoped and believed that he would free them from Roman oppression. So they were looking for a political king as well as the Messiah. That's who they believed he was. And so as they approached Jerusalem, this is what happened. They went ahead of Jesus. They lined the streets. They made a path for him. They laid down their cloaks, as we read, palm branches, and they shouted Hosanna, treating him as that triumphant king. And Jesus knew full well, he knew full well that he was entering a hostile city. Almost anyone else would have considered that discretion is the better part of valor, and perhaps slipped into the city under the cover of darkness. But Jesus did not. Jesus entered Jerusalem in a way that deliberately set him on center stage. And it created a stir. And what we discover even after our reading is that Jesus, in his last days and almost every action that he did it as sort of a magnificent defiance to the authorities, almost as if he was saying, do your worst, do your worst. The people, as he entered on Palm Sunday, had made a huge commotion that drew the attention of everyone in the city. And we read this at verse 10. And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, who is this? So Jesus stirred things up. He did it then, and he did it throughout the week, as we will read in the readings on Maundy, Thursday, and Good Friday. And Matthew wants us to know that when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil. Why does he want us to know that? They were asking who this man was, and it was creating a stir. Now, the other translations of the Bible, when you get to this particular verse about the whole city being in turmoil, they translate it a little differently. For example, the King James Bible says the whole city was moved, just moved. The NIV Bible, which is a good study Bible, the New International Version, it says the whole city was stirred, not just in turmoil, but was stirred. And the Message Bible paraphrase, it says the whole city was shaken. And so what's happening here with this tiny little detail? What's going on? What's going on as Jesus enters the holy city on Palm Sunday? Well, Matthew uses a word here that, again, would have rung a bell in the Jewish listener's ear. The Greek word that Matthew chooses to use here for turmoil comes from the Greek word seismos, seismos. And that's where we get the word seismology, which, of course, is the science that deals with earthquakes and artificially produced vibrations in the earth. Now, for those that don't know, modern Israel is riddled with earthquakes from time to time. They have a major fault line that they sit on there that separates the Arabian fault line with the African fault line, and it's a huge deal. One large earthquake, archaeologists have discovered, took place somewhere in the range of 5 years around the death of Jesus. And in the last 30 days, you could look this up online, in the last 30 days, there have been about a dozen little quakes of 3 to 4 point magnitude on the Richter scale. Now, it has to be a 6 in order to become a big earthquake like was in Turkey and Syria. And some of these scientists believe that the earthquake and what happened in Syria and Turkey, that's the reason for a lot of these vibrations just now. But about every 100 years or so, Jerusalem is expected to experience a large earthquake. The point is, Matthew uses this unusual word in his gospel. He uses it 7 times. The other gospel writers don't use it when they tell these stories. But 6 of those times that he uses it is in the record of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, his crucifixion, and his resurrection. Matthew, you see, writes to those Jews who knew what it was like for generations to live in an earthquake-prone region. I'll give you 2 examples of this. One occasion, Matthew uses it on Good Friday at the death of Jesus. Matthew chapter 27, verse 51. It's when Matthew describes the aftermath of Jesus' crucifixion. He writes, at the moment the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, the earth shook, seismos. There's that earthquake word. And the rocks were split. Then in Matthew 28, 1 to 4, the story of the resurrection. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, seismos. There's that earthquake word again. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. And his appearance was like lightning, his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards shook, seismos, and became like dead men. And so on Palm Passion Sunday, which begins today, this when Jesus, after today, begins to travel the Via Dolorosa, the way of suffering and death, it seemed as if Jerusalem was experiencing seismological vibrations. Now I want to say to you, I have read this story about Palm Sunday for now over 35 years, and I knew about the earthquakes, but I never connected the entrance of Jesus into Jerusalem and Jerusalem being in turmoil as closely before as now to Jesus' death and resurrection. And Matthew wants us to see that connection. That's what all this earthquake business is about. It has everything to do about how people were responding when Jesus arrived in that great city. It is as if Matthew wants us to feel the vibrations happening as we go through this final week, this final purposeful week of Jesus' life, and it begins today. When Jesus entered the city, there was already turmoil. There was seismos. There was shaking and stirring and moving, and people were disturbed and they were wondering, who is this man? They were so worked up. It was almost like an earthquake. And the Jews would have picked up on that. The sacrificial, inclusive love of Jesus, you see, had already disrupted and moved the Pharisees from their comfortable positions of being the ones who had all the truth to Jesus reinterpreting the law of Moses and fulfilling it. Jesus disrupted the Jewish religious system, which controlled and manipulated people. And we will see this in this week as we see the reaction of the Jewish leaders and what they do. And Matthew wants us to experience the seismic and even cosmic vibrations, I believe, of the implications of Jesus entering Jerusalem on this long prophesied day that has finally come. The mercy and love of grace shown by Jesus and his humility beginning today, riding on that donkey, it reveals the groundbreaking, earth-shaking interruption of God into human history and even our lives. And thank goodness he comes. Thank goodness he comes. And I hope this is helpful for you to hear today on Palm Sunday. Especially, of course, when we think of times in our own lives when we are shaken by something, by an event, by a phone call, by a diagnosis, or by just the dailiness of life. I'm also thinking this morning about those people who have been shaken and continue to experience injustice in Ukraine. Their lives have been terribly shaken. And we are shaken when we see such injustice and such evil in bombings like this in the world. And I'm sure many of you feel as I do the frustration, the vibrations of the people who are in pain and suffering after the earthquakes in Turkey and Syria and after the tornadoes in our own country and the Tennessee Valley and lower Mississippi and the middle other parts of the country, even the shootings. We feel the pain and the vibrations of people who had their lives changed in an instant. And what you see is happening here is this week in Jesus' life, we will also be shaken and we will be disturbed, but not by bad news. We will be disturbed and shaken by good news. But Jesus, he will be betrayed. He will be shaken by one on Maundy Thursday. He will be abandoned by the other disciples. He will experience the mockery of his own trial. He will be flogged. He will have a cross of thorns pressed upon his head, and he will carry the weight of his own cross through the city of Jerusalem, where the people had cried, "Hosanna." They will soon cry, "Crucify him." And by the end of this week, I pray that all of us will be deeply moved, perhaps even shaken. I pray that. Pray that we will deeply move because we will understand that the stone has been rolled away and he has risen from the dead. And that day when he entered Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, the people of the whole city, they were already in turmoil. And this would be the theme for the whole week through the resurrection. And Matthew, I believe, wants us to know that while the earthquake-like events of our lives may cause an interruption, we have a great hope that things will always work out. They do for our salvation here in this story. And this week we will see how Jesus breaks into all of life through his crucifixion and his resurrection. And he arrives beginning today, ready to break us free from our own bonds. And so blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, for his coming is seismic in proportion. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, let us pray. O God, our Father, as we come to you this day, we thank you for, again, your word to us. We thank you how you have breathed a fresh new word into this story for us to understand how you work in our world and in our lives. Come, Lord Jesus. Hosanna to the King. Amen.